Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. There's several things we want to talk about today. It's have to do with this business with Australia, in which Canada is not included. We need to say some things about the area of the world that's not been covered, which is also big news, in my opinion, which is developments in Lebanon. But to begin with, I want to make sure I announce that there's going to be an event calling for the release of Meng Wan Zhou, and you can attend this at, you'd go to bit.ly/releaseMengNow. And this is going to be taking place at on September 22nd, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, U.S. and Canada. Title is Why Meng Wanzhou Should Be Released Now. Whoever forms the next government of Canada will have to deal with Trudeau's decision to arrest Meng Wanzhou, CFO of Huawei, Technologies, at the behest of former U.S. President Donald Trump. And there will be expert panelists explaining the many reasons why Meng should and can legally be released in order to restore friendly relations with China and set a new and independent course in Canadian foreign policy. Again, that's going to be at 7 p.m. September 22nd, Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to bit.ly/releaseMengNow. Release Meng Now. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 9.5 FM. And of course, we are ending the election season. It's unfortunate and sort of, this is one of the issues I have with the way elections are conducted. It's not your usual headache, I guess, in terms of arguing about it. People seem to be enthusiastic about advanced polls. It's rather odd, so many people have voted, because, as they say, something has come up, something rather important. That is, in virtually the last days of the Canadian election, three members of our intimate group called Five Eyes, Australia, can't trust the Aussie. UK, you could never trust it, perfidious Albion, and the United States, and superpower, and the exceptional state, the essential, the one with what, without whom the world cannot go on, according to Madeleine Albright. The three of them got together and decided to begin a process of nuclear proliferation in the Asian Pacific. I say that advisedly because they've also created a new word. It's a neologism. They call it now the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, and everybody will be telling you there's something called the Indo-Pacific. This is actually a creation of the new of this gang because they have a new political construct that they want you to perceive this issue from. And so they've introduced this language, Indo-Pacific. It isn't the Indo-Pacific, it's the Asian Pacific. The target, of course, they don't do all these nice things without having a target. The target is the People's Republic of China. Why? Because the People's Republic of China has proven to be an economic success. It is a developing country with very good relations all over the world with other developing countries, particularly those countries which have experienced colonialism. And out of the mouth of himself, Biden, Canada's president, We were told China will not be permitted, will never become the number one economic power. I guess that's, I'm putting a word in his mouth, but we all got his point, which was that US and UK and others, US and its wonderful allies, we'll come back to the point about who's an ally, will see to it China's not allowed to develop. On the Taylor Report, we have gone over this many times. How is the development of an underdeveloped country, a country experienced that has experienced war and colonialism in modern times, how is that in any way a threat to us? Why, a simple change of mood would tell you, you ought to be happy. We ought to, the whole world ought to be happy. Certainly most of the world is happy that China has proven to be an efficient, well-organized, well-run, trusted, its government, a trusted government, does business with everyone else. I thought we were living in a world of, in Canada, they love businessmen, they love business. The NDP loves business. They fall all over themselves loving it. And they're all free trade people. Everybody should trade, trade, trade. But they somehow they don't like the fact that the People's Republic is there. And they don't, and we can do business. They could profit, they could benefit. But there's an ideological grudge match. The people who did colonize and tried to stand on China for so long are very perplexed that they can't do that anymore. Being master is more important, it turns out, for the people who run Ottawa and Washington, London, Paris. Being master is more important in the long run than the waxing and waning of profits. The big thing is to have the power and hold on to it. And Biden says he's going to deny it to China, which is a, if you take that as statement to its, follow the logic, it means no one can actually be allowed through natural process of mutual benefit, free trade, to grow their economy. By the way, it's an economy of 1.4 billion people. They can't exactly help themselves. It's a rather big place. It's continental. It's a big piece of the continent. And it is a vast population, and it is developing. It is educated. It is. It has a rail network that is the envy of the world. It has rural electrification, which is even in the United States only 100 years ago was considered a miracle. So all these things have happened. Small things like raising 800 million people out of poverty. That's an accomplishment. So that is now forbidden, not permitted, not to be permitted. And in order to underline the seriousness of the original project, which was given voice by President Obama, Canada's President Obama some years back, and everybody in Canada loved him. Love him and send him cards and everything. He said there was going to be a pivot to Asia. And it was in response only to the natural influence of a developing country with positive and peaceful and non-colonizing relations with other people. They decided they had to pivot. I think we'd have to say that this is growing more serious now, because more and more we're seeing an irrational, odd, noisy leadership from the United States, to the point where it has made its allies nervous. But this belligerent tone that they've struck is bespeaks an empire that is rattled. This is the Taylor Report. The Taylor Report does not agree, of course, with those who say, well, it's on its last legs, partner, and all that. I consider those people lazy. They're really hoping that the world's masses will do all the hard labor. And they want to see that, well, this Afghanistan, that's the last chapter and teetering point. No, I mean, it's an extension of power, which is there right in your face if you speak up and do not follow them. They get in your grill, so they say, in the West. And they have the capacity, so we shouldn't have any daydreams about how they're just going to fold their little tent and go away. And going back to this point about the election, it's kind of unfortunate that Canadian voters, those who voted, didn't have a chance to ask the candidates, hey, this just happened. We're only a couple of days from the election. They're going to provide nuclear submarines to Australia. Is that a good idea? And remember, there's a hero, in my opinion, a heroine in this story. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, who, like Canada, was not notified. Three of the eyes, it seems to be a case of incest, three of the eyes had a secret meeting, UK, Australia, and the US. Five eyes, you remember, is New Zealand, Canada, the United States, UK, and Australia. And they share secrets. They spy on people. I was just reading about it in the Globe. They spy by every means, including what they call, I'll find it later, but roughly it means boots on the ground. They like to say boots on, you have to have eyes on the ground. Somebody roaming around, going up a back alley somewhere and interviewing somebody. As I once read about Mr. Covering, when he was first arrested, Toronto Star reporter told us all that last time she saw him, it was in an alley in Shanghai, and he and she were chatting about things. So at any rate, they do that kind of thing. I'm not saying he was spying, but in other words, eyeballs. And Canada belongs to the Five Eyes, but the Three Eyes went off in a corner by themselves and made a decision to provide Australia with nuclear submarines. There is an agreement in the region, and actually an international understanding, that nuclear subs won't be introduced without some sort of protocol of mutual discussion. This is an arbitrary decision made by three Anglo-American, English-speaking, Christian, white states who share intelligence. Not with New Zealand and Canada, but they share intelligence. By the way, Australia, get ready to be screwed. And UK too. I mean, it's a gang. They operate like a gang. When they feel like cutting somebody out of the gang, they do it. But going back to the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Ms. Ardern, who once volunteered, I just want to say about her character, I'm a great admirer of the Prime Minister of New Zealand. And she once worked in a volunteer in soup kitchen in New York, and she really has put in her time. She's a Labour Party person and a committed socialist. And she seems to be a woman of principle, which has Canada very nervous. The last thing we want to run into is a woman with principle. So she says, well, listen, you develop a nuclear sub, you're not bringing it into our waters. You see, you know, New Zealand is a sovereign country. You're not going to just go sailing around with your lousy little submarine under an American captain, because once you get your agreement with the Americans, they're going to be looking over the shoulder of every single key individual in the line of command. she didn't say that. Of course, we're saying it on the tail board. But that was a very laudable response. And if I could vote for Ms. Ahern, I would do it several times over, I think, because she stood up for the sovereignty of New Zealand. What happened here was that the story broke on Friday, and the headlines were rather peculiar. Here's what the Globe wrote. The Globe and Mail said, Canada's national paper, used to be the, at one point it was the Globe and Empire. They decided it was embarrassing, got rid of Empire. Title of the headline is, Canada caught off guard by exclusion from security pact. You see, the problem they say is not that somebody snuck off and had a secret meeting, a three-eyed, had a little incest meeting against the two, New Zealand and Canada. The problem is that, oh golly, we were excluded and this must mean a failure on our part. And here's how bad the language gets. This is worth, this is an education. This is from the Globe and Mail, and it is Friday, September 17. And of course, they wanted to be sure they were informed, the Globe. So they said that they, I'll just read some of the parts of it. The defense ministers of Britain and Australia reached out to Defense Minister Sajjan to inform him of the decision shortly before the late afternoon meeting. That's, of course, too, sort of humiliating. And Foreign Affairs Minister Mark Garneau received a call from the Australian, his Australian counterpart also. And one of the Canadian officials, I should tell you who these are. Because three officials, the Globe talked to, three officials representing Canada's foreign affairs, intelligence, and defense departments told the Globe and Mail that Ottawa was not consulted about the pact and had no idea the trilateral security announcement was coming until it was made on Wednesday by the United States President Joe Biden, Prime Minister, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Then later they say, this is the part that fascinates me and should fascinate any Canadian. There's a little word about proliferation of more advanced weapons in an area close to China when the relations are becoming very hostile. One of the Canadian officials referred to the pact as the new three eyes and said it's clear that Canada's closest allies consider Ottawa to be a weak sister. Weak sister. Want me to repeat that? A weak sister when it comes to standing up to China. Oh boy, front page of the Globe and Mail. We're in danger of being a weak sister, or apparently our big tough friends in Australia, Gallipoli, our big tough friends in Australia and the United States just blew up a family in Kabul. Fortunately for Washington, they were allies and friends and employees of the United States at one point. Blew them up by mistake. And of course, the UK, their record is so long, we won't go into it. But at any rate, according to these officials, we might be a weak sister. Well, here's an argument. Ms. Ahern of New Zealand told them, hey, if you got a submarine, a nuclear submarine, you try to bring it to New Zealand, you ain't gonna make it. You are not allowed, you can get lost, forget it. She sounds to me like a strong sister, actually a stronger sister than Trudeau. Because Trudeau so far, he's not very clear what he thinks about this. Now, All of this is actually coming in the 3 or 4 days before an election, when the Five Eyes, of which we're all so proud to be a member, are allegedly reading all the leaders, every single leader of every single party in Canada that's in called mainstream. They all love this idea of being in Five Eyes so we can help spy on the lesser peoples of the world. And of course, now we find out is also a gang in which some members of the gang steal from other members. This is happening, and it is not being treated as a front page story. It very much is a front page story. It wasn't on, it was broken on the Friday. It was mentioned, it is basically, it was, my memory was page 16 or something at the bottom of the page in the Star with no return to the subject, but it has great implications for Canada. We talk on this show about NATO, we talk about Sinophobia. We talk about this extremely aggressive posture which the United States is assuming, and assuming for us because Biden is the president of Canada. And this is a big story. And I'm really sorry that actually people aren't voting after the story broke, because it has so many elements, and many of them very dangerous ones. Here, I'll give you a headline from the New York Times. Here's what they wrote. Pentagon acknowledges, one second, I got the wrong headline. Yes. Secret talks and a hidden agenda. Behind the US defense deal that France called a betrayal. France called a betrayal. In meeting after meeting with their French counterparts, US officials gave no heads up about their plans to upend France's largest defense contract. This is the part, of course, which we're not entirely on the Taylor Report sympathetic to it. These are people trying to make billions and billions of dollars as defense, as selling military goods around the world. But they were supposed to be friends. France is within NATO. France is always called, you know, America's oldest friend. And somebody made a joke, if you couldn't betray your oldest friend, you know, I mean, who can you betray? That's France, which, without whom there would not be a United States. When the Americans were fighting for their independence and the British sent a fleet to assist in the victory of the battle, and particularly the battle of Yorktown, the French blocked the British fleet, and they couldn't, they were there, but they couldn't get out. They made it, but they couldn't get out. The French had them blocked. So the British surrendered at Yorktown, and it was the victory. And on the battlefield that day, when the surrender was made, it's not told properly in the American history, because of course that's the last thing anybody wants to tell the American people is American history. But when the surrender was made, the British general, well, he sent his number two out because he was so humiliated, because they did not regard General Washington as a general. He was kind of a Taliban type to them, and they considered him a criminal, and they never called him general. But there he was sitting on his horse waiting for the surrender. So out of the fort came the British officer, and he came up the hill, and he headed straight for a line of French military men, including generals, who were there with Washington, because they, after all, had arranged for the fleet, and they had also arranged for all the cannons that caused the British to give up. So the British number two, he had the sorry job of going up to the French and saying, I'm here to surrender to you. You're the general, I understand, of the French army. And the French general said, actually, The guy over there on the horse is the one you have to surrender to. I'm just here. And so he turned and headed for Washington. And he came to Washington. By the way, I think he was on it. They made him walk. Everybody else sat on a horse. And he walked over to Washington, and Washington looked at him. So, and pointed at his number two officer. So then the British officer had to go to the Washington number two and surrender. And voila, emerged the great republic under Washington, Jefferson, Hamilton, Reed, Ishmael Reed's play. Anyhow, so here's France, who saved America, gave them a shot. They even gave them Louisiana years later under a different French leader. And America stiffs them for, I think, 90 billion, something like that. But who changed the protocols? The French had no reason to suspect a game was being played on them, because there was not supposed to be any other nuclear subs amongst the powers than those who already have been anointed. But Biden, in his rush to see how much trouble he can get into while America still has a pulse as a great power, decided to, yes, Australia can have nuclear subs. We'll go into the whole, I'm not gonna go detailed, but a nuclear sub is a special category of weapon. And it is not in that region except by those powers that already under protocols and understandings amongst the powers. But Australia has jumped the queue and now has this weapon. So we're talking about a very dangerous situation. And yes, France was slapped publicly as hard as you can slap somebody. And they said that they were stabbed in the back, and they have withdrawn their ambassador from the United States and from Australia. I got a little guess I'll just share with you. If this had been talked about, the vote for the Bloc Québécois would have jumped up by 10, 20 points. The Bloc Québécois is located in Quebec, which is a nation acknowledged by the Canadian Parliament. It is also part of Anglo, French, Spanish history in North America. They are sensitive to developments. And when England and Australia, United States, double-cross France, that's of interest to those in Canada who speak French. Last point before we go, we're going to take a break. Last point on that is, someone said, well, why wouldn't they, America, golly, why wouldn't they trust us the way they do Australia? Well, 30% of the French, the vote of Australia is not French. Canada has always been a bit of a strategic problem, because when the Anglo leadership, and particularly in the name of monarchy and grand old Britain, wants to go to war, it is historically a fact that French Canadians are the least enthusiastic and certainly ask the most difficult questions before they put their lives on the line. Now Biden is putting everybody's life on the line, and Australia and UK have lined up. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. We'll take a break. We'll be back.